heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I have a loving Savior up in glory land. I don't expect to stop until I with him stand. He's waiting now for me in heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do?
The angels beckon me from heaven's open door,
and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs are sweet as praise,
drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home
in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do?
The angels
beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Good to be in the house of God tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Somebody left their dinosaur toys out all over the floor. Amen. Now, it's a blessing to be here on a Wednesday night, and it's a blessing to, I don't know what I breathe in back here, but something got me, but it's a blessing to be in the Lord's house on Wednesday night, and it's a true blessing to have Brother Tino Gropey here with us.
Amen.
I mean, I'm telling you how determined he was to get here. Yesterday morning, he left New Mexico and drove all the way across Texas to get here to us. I mean, he really wanted to get here. That's a long, stinking way. And
after he got his car tore up.
Huh?
After he got his car tore up.
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to mention that, but I'll let him mention that if he wants to. But anyway, it is good to have him here. I got to know Brother Tino through Pastor Jason Cooley and our radio show. Had Brother Tino on. His first time you were on was when we were talking about Roman Catholicism, wasn't it? And him born and raised a Catholic and then got saved by the grace of God. And
amen.
I remember
praise
how old
God.
You can tell all that. But anyway, and then we've had him on to do other shows since. And I had him on to do a show on geocentricity. We did two shows on that. And it was a real blessing. And so anyway, I'm looking forward to hearing from him tonight. You're going to hear things about dinosaurs. You're going to hear things about giants. You're going to hear things. I don't even know what all we're going to hear things about. But lots of interesting stuff that you can't. Yeah, tonight's skullduggery. But anyway, we're going to get into all kinds of cool stuff that you just can't get nowhere else. Amen. But the fascinating thing is you can find it all in the King James Bible.
Amen.
Amen. And that's Brother Tino's passion is teaching God's people and the lost that'll listen that the answer's in the Bible. And so excited to have him with us. And I'm excited you're here. And if you enjoy it tonight, then you get to go and tell somebody else and bring them tomorrow night because we're going to be here tonight, Thursday night, Friday night. We're going to give you the night off Saturday, and then we'll be back in the house of the Lord Sunday, and he'll be here with us. He'll teach Sunday school, he'll handle the morning service, and he'll handle Sunday evening service before he heads back to Oshkosh, Wisconsin, via Salina, Kansas, Murray?
What?
Okay, close to Salina, though, right, up in that area?
I don't know.
Okay, Kansas anyway. Yeah, he's just driving. I told my mom on the way to town, I rode with Brother Tino today. He's used to driving them big cities. And I said, if you're not saved before you get in the car with him, you'll be saved before you get out. So he was hanging corners like it was Indy 500. But anyway, we had a good time today. And our church is, we're using the equipment that God has allowed us to have. And we're using that to produce him a hopefully first-class DVD of this teaching. And the Lord just recently opened the door for him to go into this full-time ministry. I'm going to tell everything that you're going to tell, and you won't have nothing to say. Okay. But anyway, he just recently went full-time in this, and so we're trying to help him get things off the ground, get going. And so I'm excited. We're going to pray. We're going to sing, and we're going to turn it over to him. And we're filming the DVD tonight, so no loud outbursts of anything, so. If you do, I'll drag you out of here. So, anyway, and by the way, nobody touch the enormous shark mouth because it will lash right through your skin. So don't touch that. You can touch, I think, pretty much anything else but the shark teeth, right? All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And by the way, we're gonna make Lonnie wear those while he plays drums here in a little bit. But anyway, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to ask God to bless the meeting tonight. And also, Brother Tino is going to be teaching in our homeschool tomorrow and Friday as well. Mm-hmm. So, and we're going to be filming that as well. So we're going to have a whole DVD set. And here's the great thing. When we get done with it, if you want a DVD set, hey, I'll give you a DVD set, okay? That's why I told him that's one of my perks here. Since we're filming it, we get to have free copies. So we'll pass them all around and everything. But anyway, excited, looking forward to tonight. Let's go to the Lord and pray. Ask God to meet with us and bless us. All right? Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. And I'm going to ask Jesse if you would lead us in a word of prayer tonight.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for allowing us all to come together, Lord, and be with you. Lord, we thank you for getting Brother Tino here safely, Lord. And we thank you for the ministry that you gave him and teaching people about your creation and all, everything you've done. And Lord, I pray we'll have a good rest of the service and have a good time. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Number 34. Number 34 in the white book. And you got to sing on this one now. Because we're going to heaven one of these days, and when we get there, we're gonna have us a time. Amen.
Amen.
Heaven's Jubilee. You ready?
Some bad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me. Joy's ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise, headed for that Jubilee yonder in the sky. What a seem now that I almost see all the sainted dead rising for that Jubilee that's just ahead. In the twinkling of an eye, change with them to me. All the living saints to fly to that Jubilee. What a day of singing, what a day of shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. When with all that heavenly host we begin to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be, praising Christ through ages long, heaven's Jubilee. What a day of singing, oh what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise.
We're going to do. We're going to keep this song service short. We're going to stand together, and we're going to take up tonight's love offering to help the man of God out. That's one thing we do here at this church. We're not bashful about helping the preacher. Amen.
Amen.
God sent him to be a blessing to us, and we're going to be a blessing right back.
Amen.
So you'll stand, and what we're going to do, on any verse you'd like, doesn't make any difference to us. You come and bring what you bring into the Lord and put an offering plate. We're not going to come get it. We'll just let you bring it if the Lord leads. And let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to bless the offering tonight. And Brother Lonnie, lead us in a word of prayer.
Dear God, I thank you, Lord, for bringing us here tonight, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for watching over Brother Tino, Lord, and giving him his passion to teach your word,
yes.
Lord. Pray, Lord, you bless this offering, Lord, that it help him to carry your word to other people, Lord. People before us gave to him to bring him here, Lord. Help us to let him go on further, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Turn to number 52 and let's sing. Yeah. Oh, say, but I'm glad.
There is a song in my heart today, something I never had. Jesus has taken my sins away. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Wonderful, marvelous love he brings into a heart that's sad. Through darkest tunnels the soul just sings, oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. We have a fellowship rich and sweet, tongue can relate. Living in him is a blessed treat. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Won't you come to him with all your care, weary and worn and sad? You too will sing as his love you share. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad.
Amen. You can be seated.
Two-room apartment on the dark side of town. A teenage girl is praying. She's far from home, she's scared and alone. Not really sure what she's saying. She ran away looking for freedom. All her plans have led her astray. Oh, Jesus, I'm lost and I want to be saved. I believe you are the way. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Redemption through his precious blood, the final sacrifice. Faithfully
abundantly. It gets better all the time. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. When he turned the keys to his 280Z, AC/DC was playing. Highway to Hell marked his pathway so well. Can you hear what they're saying? As he searched the darkness, looking for light, and wasted up all of his youth. But everything's so different now, now that he knows the truth. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the light. Redemption through his precious blood, the final sacrifice. Faithfully, abundantly, it gets better all the time. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Her heart wasn't in it, but she went to the clinic. His mama said, get rid of the baby. It's been a long while, but she thinks of the child. It's nearly driving her crazy. It's the second time that she's tried suicide. First with pills, now with a knife. But in her hospital bed, with a tract that she's read, she's introduced to the light. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. Redemption through his precious blood, the final sacrifice. Faithfully, abundantly, it gets better all the time. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life.
Amen.
I really relate to the guy in the second verse. Amen. I searched the darkness a long time, and I had the light all along. And I thank God that he never gave up on me. Amen. We get everybody get seated. I'm excited tonight. I just want you to know that I am truly excited. And I have, for years, studied or followed Dr. Kent Hovind and his Creation Science Evangelism, and always got a blessing. I've had a copy of those DVDs for a number of years, showed them to our church back early on before we were even in this building, which would have been around 2002. For years on Channel 99 here locally, we broadcast Ken Hovind's Creation Science Evangelism seminar. So, needless to say, I have been a big proponent of this kind of teaching for a long, long time. And with Dr. Hovind being detained at the moment and unable to go out and preach and do what he used to do, I'm very thankful that God has thrust Brother Tino Gropi out there to do the very same work. And what he's doing is so vitally important in this hour when people are giving up on the Bible. And they're embracing, what man has to say, And it's just as I told somebody the other night, you know, you've got to understand this whole world out there that you've been presented with your whole life's just a house of cards. Yeah. It's just a charade. It's a backdrop. And if it were ever really truly taken away from you, you see just how wicked and how evil this whole world really is. And you realize just how much you need the Lord. And I hope and pray that somehow something he says tonight awakens that within you and makes you realize just how much has been hidden from you by Satan and his workers. And that's really what tonight's message, I believe, I hope I'm speaking right, brother, if I'm leading you into this thing right. But I really believe that's what he's going to talk about tonight, is how Satan has deceived people by using scientists and false and science falsely so-called to keep people in the dark. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And Brother Tino, I'm going to ask you to come and teach us tonight. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we love you. Father, we thank you tonight for this group of people that have gathered together here in this place, Father, to hear the word of God, to hear the truth, Father, regarding your creation, Lord, your wonderful, blessed creation, Lord, that you made for man to enjoy, for you made to give you glory. Lord, I pray, Father, tonight for Brother Tino that you would help him and you would empower him. Lord, give him liberty and ease to speak and to say what ought to be said and say it just as he needs to say it. Father, bless us by it. Father, teach us, help us tonight. Use the man of God and give us, Lord, something that we need. And bless us now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Brother.
Yeah, I'm gonna kick it. No, these will stay on. Just these two back here, I'll get them from over.
That comes out when everything gets jumbled. Gotta be
there. You set. Go.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Tino Gropi, Genesis Evidence Ministry. I'm from Wildwood Baptist Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And I bill myself as the only King James creationist not currently in prison. There are a couple other creationists who believe the King James, but very few, which is surprising, but that's a whole other message. So we'll get to this message today, and here's a picture of my church and information. Anybody wants to look me up on the internet or call me or, you know, book me for future meetings. I'm available. We're going to look at a concept I call skullduggery. And we are going to look at skulls. And I have a few of them on the table over here. We are going to look at some human skulls and some ape skulls and some skulls that evolutionists try to tell us are ape men. And we're going to see there is no such thing as an ape man. There are no apes. Ape men skulls, they are either ape skulls or human skulls. And we're going to see that they are mistaken about many of them, and they outright lie about some of them. And you will be surprised to see that. And the word skullduggery, of course, is a play on words. We're using skulls, but skullduggery means to do something underhandedly or deceptively. And they sure do. And I think you'll be amazed to see just how deceptive some evolutionists can be. When they don't have any real evidence, they have to make it up. They have to lie about it. They have to manipulate it. And when we're through, you'll understand that. First, we'll talk about the Piltdown Man hoax. Now, this is something that happened earlier in the century, about a century ago. Matter of fact, it might have been exactly a century ago. It might be getting to the anniversary. It's in there somewhere, about 1912. Just a little over a century ago. 1912, Piltdown Man was discovered and was proclaimed to be an ape man because it had some features of men and some features of apes. And so, hey, look at this, we have an ape man. But 40 years later, it was discovered to be a phony. And what they found out was that it was some bones from an orangutan, some bones from a chimp, and some bones from a human chemically treated, all mixed together, filed down so they fit, put together on a, as a skull, and he hit it somewhere so it'll be dug up. And they thought they discovered this wonderful ape man, and that proved evolution was true. Matter of fact, they tried to use it in the Scopes monkey trial as evidence of evolution. And it, it ended up the guy in Scopes trial did not even want to use his idea. He wasn't even trying to prove evolution so much as just to get creation out of the schools and get evolution into the schools. And it worked eventually, although it didn't work right at the moment. But like I said, 40 years later, they uncovered it was a phony. And it wasn't until just recently, 4 or 5 years ago, 2000 and something, 2004, is in the article somewhere, that they found out who was behind the hoax. And there was about three guys that were behind it that they think probably were in on it. And what science will try and say was, well, see, this is an example of the fact that science corrects itself. It corrects its mistakes. And that's good science. Well, that's true, but it took them 40 years to correct this mistake. How many other things have they been wrong about for 40 years? Several. I have in some of my other messages, things in museums that were left uncorrected, wrong bones of the wrong kind of creature and wrong skeletons that were there in museums for 80 years before somebody figured it out. That, whoops, you got this bone on backwards or this bone from the wrong creature. For 40, 60, some of them 80, some of them, a couple of them 100 years that they had wrong displays in museums. And, yeah, science is self-correcting, but it was wrong for 40, 60, 80, and 100 years. And that's just the things that we've caught. What about things we haven't caught? Some of the things they've caught were because they had to take some of the bones apart for cleaning and stuff like that. What about the ones they haven't taken the bones apart? You know, they had some that were painted and they cleaned them off so they could repaint them, and when they cleaned them off, underneath the first layer of paint, they realized, oh, these aren't even real bones. It's just somebody put stuff in there that didn't belong there. Then they actually dig up something and find out the bone that they had, the fake bone they had up there, isn't the way the bone really is when they find a real skeleton. So there's all kind of mistakes and errors. Some of them just mistakes. Some of them a little more intent to it. And we'll see examples of both here. Like I said, Piltdown Man, they finally exposed it, but it was still wrong for all these years. Then we have Nebraska Man. If you take a look in the upper right corner, you see a picture of a tooth. That's all that was found of Nebraska Man. And from that tooth, they devised this whole drawing of a caveman, the whole caveman, and what appears to be his wife or something there, and some camels in the background, some horses in the background, and a whole scenery. Hey, that's quite an artistic license to come up with all that from one tooth. But it gets worse than that. It wasn't even a tooth of a man. It turned out to be the tooth of a pig, a peccary, called Prosthenops. And at the time, they thought it was an extinct pig. They only knew it from the fossil record. But in the 1970s, they found some of them still alive in South America. So it's not a man. It wasn't even extinct. It was one tooth from a pig. And they created the whole scenario behind Nebraska Man, which is also called Hesperopithecus. Wow. You know, it doesn't take much evidence for them to come up with something. If they want to promote that something is an ape man, they will use whatever they can. I mean, even if it was a human tooth, isn't that quite a lot to fabricate from one human tooth? An entire person and his family and some and the scenery and all that? Wow. Now, surely you've heard of Lucy. That was one of the most famous fossils ever. Supposed ape man or ape woman. It was a man. They looked at the bones a little closer, and Lucy wasn't a woman. Lucy was probably a male, which, you know, if you don't know if it's a male or a female, maybe Lucy's got more problems than we realize. And most of the bones, as they've looked at them and studied them, the bones that they did discover are simply chimp. They're not human bones. Some of the ones they claimed were more human-like were not found in the same place with the rest of the bones, so it's kind of spurious there. But this is a real good example of how they try and give you an image, a human image, when they have evidence for a chimp, but they want you to think it's human. And take a look at the eyes. Gorillas have black eyes all the way through. humans have whites of their eyes. Now, they didn't find any of Lucy's eyes. They didn't find any photographs of Lucy. They just found some bones. And look at the kind of eyes they gave Lucy. White eyes to make her look like a human. On purpose to put forth an image that Lucy is on her way to becoming human. Lucy's, you know, part ape, part human. And that's intentional. I mean, they chose the kind of eyes they wanted to put in Lucy. They could have put any kind they wanted. But they want people to look at Lucy and think human, and think Lucy is on her way to becoming a human. Well, Lucy's got some more explaining to do besides her eyes, her feet. I've seen Lucy. I've seen both the bones there on the left. I've seen that the model in the center at the museum in Chicago. And they have Lucy with human feet. Interesting thing. How many bones from Lucy's feet were found? Zero. They didn't find any of her feet. But they gave her human-looking feet. Now, if you look around here, I have a gorilla foot over there and several castings of human feet on the other side. You can look at your own feet if you want for reference. A gorilla foot is nothing like a human foot. So Lucy's, if Lucy was an ape, her foot would be totally different. Apes have feet like hands, and they use them for climbing and swinging and eating and things like that, like we'd use hands. I mean, you can't hardly eat an apple with your foot. A gorilla could if they ate apples. Bananas, anyway. Really, nothing resembles a human foot, which gives a lot more credibility to several of these human tracks I have on the other side and a few others that I didn't bring with me. There's actually been hundreds and hundreds of them discovered, and some more obvious and better quality than others. Some of them eroded, and you know they've been underwater for years and are no longer a perfect human shape. But if you ran out in the backyard, you'd leave some good footprints and some not-so-good footprints. And you'd leave different footprints if you ran or if you walked or if you ran on soft ground or harder ground or mud, or if you stepped on rocks while you're walking or running, wouldn't leave perfect footprints. But no other creature has a foot like a human. So when you find something that looks like a human, that's pretty good evidence it is. You know, human footprints don't show up in the ground because the wind blew and carved it out like a footprint. It's just, you know, nobody would look at a footprint and think that's erosion made it look just like a human foot with toes and an arch and everything else. But animals have paws or hooves or hands. There's the only creature that makes a footprint that looks a little bit like a human would be a bear. And he's got paws, so it's still not human. So to give Lucy human feet, when we know apes don't have feet like humans, they didn't find any of Lucy's feet. That isn't a mistake. That isn't just an accident. That's somebody intentionally trying to make you think Lucy is a human. And they have Lucy there with a human posture, arms and legs walking like a human, erect. Her bones didn't show that. Her bones showed that she had been hunched over like a chimp. And she'd had long arms, walking on all fours, just like a chimp. Lucy was not a human. Lucy was not evolving into a human, not part human, not becoming human. But they wanted to make you think that. So they gave her human eyes, they gave her human feet. Oh, it gets better yet for Lucy, or worse yet, depends on which perspective you're looking at it. Lucy's got a lot of explaining to do. I have a video that goes along with this that we may get onto the DVD, but here are some still shots from it where I was watching a video, and while they're doing it, they're putting the bones of Lucy together and saying, well, we have a problem. These bones fit perfectly, just like this. And then he moved it next to an ape pelvis and said, they fit just like a chimp. Yeah, no kidding. They said, but that can't be. Why can't that be? Isn't that what they fit like? Isn't that what the science tells you? But they don't want Lucy to be a chimp. They want Lucy to be on her way to being a human. And so they got a problem. The bones fit together exactly like a chimp. What are we going to do? How can we fix that? Well, you take a look at the one on the left there, the picture on the left. He took a power drill. Literally sat there, and this is on TV. This is on the Nova series that was on TV in 1994. Dr. Owen Lovejoy doing it, taking a power drill and drilling the pieces, and then they fit together magically on the right. Well, no kidding. You can make any piece fit together if you take a drill to it. I can't believe that he actually did that on TV and it was documented, and they expected anybody to swallow it. Who would believe that? But they pound evolution so hard in this country, in our public schools, in our textbooks, on TV, in our newspapers, in museums, at the zoo, everywhere you go, they promote evolution so people believe that stuff. I mean, who would watch a guy drilling a bone to make it fit when they know it fits like a chimp, and he drills it on purpose to make it fit like a human? Who would believe that? But people all over the country and all over the world believe it. Because, you know, the scientists say so, and who are we to question the scientists? Well, maybe scientists aren't always honest. I mean, I have no problem with the scientist being mistaken. Hey, we're all human. We all make mistakes. I really can even understand a scientist having a bias and seeing things slanted his way because of what he believes. Because we all do that. We see things the way we believe. We have a bias. People try and pretend like they're unbiased, but we're not. Nobody really is totally unbiased. I can live with that. I can understand that. What I can't understand was the guy takes out a power drill and files down bones to make them fit. That's deceitful. That's not just mistaken or having a bias. That's just out and out lying. And who is the liar in the Bible? The first Genesis 3:1, yea, hath God said, first words out of his mouth was questioning God's word. The serpent himself. So who would be the inspiration behind this, wanting to make an ape look like a man and wanting you to think that it was an ape evolving into a man? I just wonder who would be responsible for that. Well, now, here's my friend Rudy. And I call him Rudy. His scientific name is Homo rudolfensis because he was discovered by the Lake Rudolph, which today is called Lake Turkana. There's a piece of ground, or volcanic eruption, a piece of it called the KBS Tuff in Kenya. And evolutionists made a mistake that they probably won't make again. They did scientific testing and dated the ground before they found what was in it. And they've learned their lesson, I think. They won't do that anymore because they dated the ground at 230 million years old. So anything found in that strata should be about 230 million years old. Well, they finally started excavating it for something, and they came across some elephant fossils and some pig fossils that had previously been dated at 6 million years for the elephants and 3 million for the pigs. Whoops, that doesn't fit with 230 million years. A little bit of a margin of error there. So they claimed, well, the original date must have been a result of contamination. See, when the date doesn't say what they want, it's contamination. It had to be contamination. Must have been. Okay, all right, contamination. But now you still have a bit of a problem. You've got fossils that say 6 million years and fossils that say 3 million years. Well, that's only a 100% margin of error. That's no big deal to an evolutionist. You know. So they had to just kind of figure out which one to go by. And they flipped the coin to figure out which one to go by. And they decided to go with the 3 million year figure. That was the age of the... Was that the pigs? Yeah, the pigs. The elephants were 6. The age of the pigs. So they went with the 3 million, and what they did then, they redated it. Now that they have a target to shoot for. Now, shouldn't science just operate, do the science on it, and see what the science says, and go with whatever the science says? Well, now, no, they want to have a target to shoot for. So now they're shooting at 3 million years. So you think maybe they could kind of manipulate the data to make it say 3 million years? I mean, just possibly could they do that if they've already been wrong 230 million years? Well, they dated it 5 different times, 4 different methods, and then the fifth, another one of the methods they did twice. So they could say, now we're positive. This KBS Tuff dates at 3 million years. How the elephants got in there, ignore the man behind the curtain. Never mind. Pretend like that didn't happen. That's only, you know, 100% margin of error. We can live with that. But they dated it 5 different times, so now they've stuck their neck out. Now they've said, we're absolutely sure this KBS Tuff was 3 million years old. We've dated it 5 times to prove it this time for sure. It's kind of like Lucy holding the football for Charlie Brown. This time for sure, Charlie Brown, I'll let you kick it this time. But as always, they were wrong again. But a couple of things, though, that some of the scientists that found Rudy said about him when they found him. Richard Leakey, the one that discovered him, said it was remarkably reminiscent of modern man. And I didn't know. I should have set this up. Then they found Rudy after they dated it all at 3 million years. Whoops, they found Rudy. Well, humans at that time were not believed to have started evolving until about 1 million years ago. So now they have Rudy 3 times older than what they thought he should be. But they're saying that he was remarkably reminiscent of modern man. A skull 3 times older than they thought, but yet he looks like modern man? Dean Falk down there said the same thing. It's shaped like that of a modern human. Fitch, Hooker, and Miller, who are the ones that did the 5 different redatings of it, they were disturbed by the fossils and tools found close to the tuff that didn't match up with Rudy. Rudy shouldn't have tools and fossils, you know, that they found. They found they weren't the right age. So now they're telling us Rudy looks like a modern human, even though he's older than everything else they had discovered up until that point. Well, that doesn't add up much. But now they're kind of desperate. They don't know what to date Rudy as. They don't know what to call him, what to say he is. I mean, you can see the different dates here. They started out at 230 million. Then the elephants at 6 million, the pigs at 3 million. They started listing it in the textbooks as 2.9 million because they wanted to get under that 3 million and not make them see. You know, like when you go to the store and something's $49.99, it doesn't seem quite as expensive as something that's $50. You know, and they kind of did that with a 2.9 million to get him under 3. Actually, though, if he was found under the tuff that they dated at 3 million, he should be over 3 million years old because he was found in a layer under that tuff that was dated at 3 million. But okay, and we've seen they have no problem with having 100% margin of error, a little bit of wiggle room. We'll cut them some slack on that. But they started finding more skulls, and the other skulls that were very similar to Rudy, they dated at about 2 million or a little bit under. So what to do, now they've been dating Rudy in the textbooks at 2.9 million, they just started saying he was 1.9 million. And then to get him under some of the other ones that they were dating at about 1.9 million, they said he was 1.7 million. And I've seen textbooks that have gone all the way down to 1.7 million. You ask, what do they base that 1.7 and 1.9 million on? Absolutely nothing. The guy on the bottom throwing darts at a dartboard. No science. The science that they did over and over and over said 3 million. Now, we know that can be explained anyway by certain things that affect the dating process, different chemicals that leach in and leach out, high pressure, heat, things like that. I wonder what event in the Bible might have caused water, heat, and pressure. I think there might be an event in the Bible that caused those things, a flood. So the dates that they come up with are really not accurate anyway, but they came up scientifically 5 times saying 3 million years old. But in the textbooks, they're putting 1.9 and 1.7 million based on absolutely nothing. The science told them something else. They ignored their own science because it didn't fit their chain. They got a nice chain of different skulls lined up from, you know, different shapes and different sizes to make them look like it's a human evolving from an ape. And Rudy couldn't fit anywhere didn't fit where he wanted, so they just put him in a spot and gave him a number. You're 1.7 million years old. Didn't matter what the science said. But it gets better yet, or worse yet, depending on your perspective. Richard Leakey said you could hold the upper jaw forward and give it a really long face, or you could tuck it in, making the face short. How you held it really depended on your preconceptions, what you believed about it. It was interesting watching what people did with it. Yeah, I'd say so. He also said, if you held it one way, it looked like one thing. If you held it another way, it looked like something else. Yeah, if you put it one way, it looks like a man. You put it another way, it looks like a monkey. And it mattered what was their preconceptions. If they put it the way they wanted it. There is a Dr. Jack Quozzo, who is a dentist, went looking at, well, we'll get to him later on the Neanderthal man, but we'll be talking about this same concept when we get there. Here are some artist representations of Rudy. See how diverse they are? When they wanted to make him look like an ape, they drew him more like an ape. When they want to make him look like a human, they drew him more like a human, or something in between. This is supposed to be science. It's not science, it's art. They just draw what they want them to look like. I mean, look at the diversity in those drawings. You've got the guy on the top that looks like Ringo Starr. You've got the guy in the middle that looks like Ben Wallace, who used to play for the Detroit Pistons. On the bottom, you got Condoleezza Rice. Over on the right, you got Yoda, except that his ears are shrinking, so he's evolving still. You know, it's art. It's not science. But it turns out almost assuredly, even though when they wanted to make him look more like a human because he's evolving into a human, and they said, oh, his skull is just like a modern human. But it turns out at the end, if you hold the bones the right way, he's just a monkey. He's just a chimp or something. So it kind of depresses me because Rudy has been my friend for about 15 years, and to find out that one of my friends is just a monkey is a little depressing. So I got a new friend, my friend Joe. This is Neanderthal Man. And the reason I name him Joe is because of a man named Joachim Neander, and we will get to that later. That'll come up in a few slides. But they also have some artist representations of Neanderthal Man. And if you take a look at number 6 and number 4 there on the right, the ones that were done around the turn of the century, a little over 100 years ago, they want to make him look like an ape. They drew him more like an ape because when they originally found him, they wanted to make him out to be an ape man. Now they know he's just a modern human. They did the sequencing of the DNA and realized he could be among us and we wouldn't hardly know the difference. So now they want to make him look like more like a human, like number 3 or number 5 or some of the more modern drawings. So these are supposed to be scientists telling us what they look like based on the bones they found. And man, do they have a diversity. From number 4 to number 3 is a huge difference. Neanderthal Man is quite advanced. They found jewelry. They found floral arrangements they bury their dead with they cross their arms and they have arrangements of bones and jewels and flowers and stuff like that, like they had funeral services. I've never seen an ape have a funeral service before. They have modern tools. They probably even built either roads or dwellings. They found some flattened out stones at Neanderthals were found, so they probably built some kind of foundation for either a dwelling or a road or a path or something. And, of course, they found this Neanderthal flute here, and it's got the holes are the same as a modern flute, the same as a diatonic music scale, and they've even made some models of the flute, and they play it. So it would have worked today. Of course, the Bible says in, Genesis chapter 2, that there were musicians, way, way back then. Man didn't used to be some kind of caveman. Man has been intelligent from the very beginning. I mean, the very first couple generations, you had farmers, you had musicians, you had metallurgists, you had scientists, basically. And when you stop and think, the first job basically was a farmer. Farmers got to know about just about every science there is. They got to know botany, they got to know the weather, meteorology. They got to be able to fix their own machines. A lot of the farmers got to know an awful lot of different things. They got to know about animals, so biology. They're not just dumb farmers. They got to know a little bit of everything. And I think this disc, they thought it was a hand axe. But the interesting thing about this hand axe is it's sharp all the way around. It'd be very difficult to cut anything with an axe if it's sharp on everywhere. If you're pounding something with your hand, you're going to slice your hand open. Right? So there was one guy that I think actually came up with a much better explanation for it. He did some experimenting on throwing it like a discus. And, most Olympic sports are things that people used to do to survive. Well, obviously, running and jumping and things like that. Things that people did in battle, even pole vaulting. You have the biathlon. You wonder, what in the world do they do that for? They're on cross-country skis, and then they stop and shoot at targets. Well, in Scandinavia, that's how they survive. That's how they hunt. They go out on skis, and when they see a caribou or something, they pick up the gun, and now they've exerted themselves doing the skiing. Now they got to calm down so they can aim and shoot, and they got to do it real quick before the thing runs away. And that takes a real talent, and that's why it's become an Olympic sport. Same thing with these discs, and the discus throw in the Olympics. But what's interesting about these discs is when they throw the discs, they go out spinning, and when they get to their apex, they flip over the other direction and they come down spinning. So what they're thinking is some of these Neanderthals, maybe they even got together in parties of six or a dozen, go hunting for a woolly mammoth. And if they see a mammoth or some other large animal out there that they couldn't take down easily, six or eight of them would chuck those discs at them, and in a couple seconds you've got six or eight rotating blades coming down to slice up that mammoth. And they might throw a couple at a time. You know, everybody throws one, and once they're in the air, everybody throws another one. Now he's got twice as many, and even if some miss, he's probably going to get hit with enough that's going to damage him. Well, now they can finish him off and now feed the whole village with a woolly mammoth. So I think that makes a lot more sense. You know, the other interesting thing about Neanderthal skull, I was talking about Jack Quessel. He's a dentist, orthopedic surgeon. He's an expert on the human jaw. He's a Christian. His brother was Gary Quessel, who was an NFL quarterback for several years. And I've met Dr. Quessel. And he got to go to Europe and actually see the real Neanderthal skulls. Most of these ape-men skulls, or supposed ape-men skulls, they keep in climate-controlled vaults. Some of it for legitimate reasons. They're very fragile. They're very valuable. They don't want them to be destroyed, and they keep them climate-controlled. Well, they need to be kept that way. Sometimes I think it's also so they can hide some things that other people might catch if they saw the real thing, rather than working on a mock-up. He got to look at the real ones because he's doing research for dentistry. And he brought our state-of-the-art equipment for x-raying and measuring and checking the thing out. And what he kept finding was the same thing we saw on Rudy. They had the jaws on wrong. They put the jaws on to make him look more like an ape because that's what they wanted him to look like when they first discovered him. They wanted to make him out to be an ape man. Now, this guy was a world-class dentist, and they had to admit, yeah, you're right. And in the first dozen or so museums that he visited, they actually corrected the jaw and redid the exhibit because they got kind of caught with their pants down. They had no choice but to say, oh, okay, we got to put it the right way, and now he looks more like a human. He literally was chased out of France. And if you read his book, violent, where he had to flee for his life. That's how serious the evolutionists get when you start upsetting their apple cart. He had to flee for his life. Well, what he noticed when he took all his measurements and scans and stuff was that as the human ages, the brow ridge will slowly grow and the different other features that are on Neanderthal skull. Well, what Neanderthal man probably is a human who would have lived to 200, 300, or 400 years. Is there any place in the Bible where people might have lived 200, 300, or 400 years? You think maybe the Bible's right? You think maybe the evidence shows that the Bible was right? The science shows that the Bible was right? Interesting stuff about Neanderthal man. Here's one of the most interesting things of all. Joachim Neander was a preacher. Now, you hear the name Neander, that's because they found the original Neanderthal man in the valley named after Joachim Neander. Thal is valley in German, and Neander means new man. And so you see the verses down there about the putting on the new man, also speaking of God who created. Interesting verses in this context. Well, here Joachim Neander was a preacher who was also a hymn writer and wrote the song, Praise Ye the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation. I think God has a sense of humor that he let these evolutionists find this skull that they're going to try and make a monkey out of in a valley that was named after a preacher who wrote a song about creation. Oh, this guy's one of my favorites. Ardipithecus raminus cadaba. Now, back when they found Rudy, they thought man only started evolving into a monkey about a million years ago. Now they're pushing it back a little bit, and they're saying this guy, cadaba, well, they call him Artie, but I call him cadaba. You'll see why. They're saying, well, he was 5 million years old, and it was the first step of apes evolving into men. And the reason why was because they found a few jaw fragments. That's usually what they find because enamel is hard, so you'll find the teeth and some of the matrix of teeth were in. That's the most common thing you find. And they said, well, they found all these, not all these, but they found some of these fragments from the jaw, and they're ape-like. And then they found a toe bone. And the toe bone is almost human. Oh, no. This guy's, you know, evolving into it. Now, do you say, what did they find of all the bones in between the teeth and the toe? Not really nothing. Not much. So based on one toe bone and a few teeth, they're saying that, well, this Kadaba is an ape man. Because he's got his, you know, they didn't show you the wrist bones or the feet bones or the how his posture would be or how he, if he would climb or whatever. They want you to think it's something that's on, it's evolving from one to the other. But there's a problem with that toe bone. Two little problems actually. One, the strata they found the toe in was dated 500,000 years less. 500,000, that's just, you know, a little bit, right? 500,000 years less than the rest of Kadaba. Well, that's kind of a big margin of error, but okay, we've seen that margins of error, that's not even as big as the margin of error from the 230 million to the 3 million or to the 1.7 million, so we can, okay, that for evolution, on evolution standards, that's not bad. That's exact science. But that's only a minor discrepancy. The biggest discrepancy is that this supposed toe bone was found 10 miles away. They find a toe bone 10 miles away and match it up with some teeth that they found, you know, 10 miles over here and say because the teeth are like an ape and the toe bone is like a human means we have an ape man. No, you know what that really proves? That really proves that 5 million years ago we had rapid rail locomotive trains. Because whatever train hit this thing knocked its toe bone 10 miles away. If they can draw what they think Rudy looks like and what they think Joe looks like, I can give you a picture of what Kadaba looks like. Here's his picture. It's just as scientific as their pictures. All right? And there you see the bones they found from it. Not very many. Mostly jaw bones and a couple fragments, and then the toe bone that he's holding there with his hand. But I think that's what he looked like. That's what Kadaba looked like, just like this picture. Now we'll look at some giants in the earth. Of course, the Bible says there were giants in the earth in those days and also after that. And I think it's tomorrow that I'll be doing the lesson on giants in the earth, so we'll be looking at this in more detail. Just a few little things here dealing with human skulls. There's plenty of other evidence for giants on the earth besides, we only have scant evidence as far as skulls and bones, but we do have some. Like you see some of the large footprints I have here. We'll talk about them when I do that message. But this large one over here, the one all the way on the end of the table, is Gigantopithecus. And Gigantopithecus, they make it out to look like an ape, like a gorilla. And that's because several of the bones they have found authentically are definitely gorilla bones. But the original bones that were discovered were believed by Grover Krantz and about a dozen or eight or ten guys that I listed up there, believed to be human. I knew Renee Schissel. Her and her husband were missionaries to Eastern Europe. And she studied under Grover Krantz when he taught at University of Minnesota. They're from Minnesota. And she was an anthropologist, got her degree in anthropology. And she said she believed that the original bones they found were human bones and that they kind of just kept them hidden. When they found gorilla bones, like, oh, good, we got gorilla bones that we can use instead. Because the fragments of these jaws, whether it's human or gorilla or both, and actually biblically there's no reason there can't be both, but whatever creature this was, based on the size of the jaw, it would have been 12 feet tall. That's a giant. That would make footprints almost exactly the size of the large one I have over there. So there is some evidence that there were large somethings. Whether they were gorillas or humans, neither one of them fits evolutionary theory very well. But if they admit that there's 12-foot humans, they're really stuck because the Bible, of course, says there were giants in those days and is talking about humans. They'd rather have people think there might be 12-foot gorillas than 12-foot humans because... So they're stuck either way, but they're taking the easiest way out. And there are just some picture of how big Gigantopithecus would have looked, whether he was an ape or whether he was a man. We've got one that's a little more definitive, and this is something to think about as far as what a giant is. hey, if somebody that was like 7 foot come in here, they're pretty big. And I've known some 7-footers. Or even say somebody 7.5, maybe even 8 foot, came in and wanted to beat up the preacher. We could probably take him down. If all of us got together, we could take him down. But if somebody 10 foot or 12 foot came in, he would swat us like flies. I mean, he'd be able to handle a weapon like the guy on the right that we couldn't even pick up. And he just could knock us. I mean, imagine, I mean, the Bible talks about they felt like grasshoppers in the sight of the giants. Well, if a dozen grasshoppers attacked you, you'd laugh at them and smash it. A dozen, you'd just smash them, big deal. Well, say even 100 grasshoppers attacked you. That's quite a lot. Or if you took a tennis racket or something, swish, you, there ain't 100 left anymore. All right. Even a lot, and I think that's more with a giant 10 feet tall or 12 feet tall, he'd be proportionally wider and deeper as well. He'd be huge. And we would be like grasshoppers. He would just knock people away. Now, that would be a giant. Somebody 7 or 8 feet tall, I wouldn't really call a giant. I'd say they'd have to be closer to 9, 10, or 12 feet tall. We call them a giant. And they would definitely be a giant and be able to do the kind of things we imagine giants could do. Because I can't imagine all the armies of Israel scared over a guy that was 7 foot. Oh, come on, you know, send 6 guys out. They'll take him down. But if somebody was 10 foot, 12 foot, yeah, I think the whole army might be scared of a guy like that, especially if he had a few brothers. So here is a little more definitive one. This one's Meganthropus, and this is the his jaw next to a human jaw, and I have the jaw all the way on the end of the table is from Meganthropus. Meganthropus is more definitively human. Now, granted, they only found portions of the jaw. And we've already seen before that they can make a whole city almost based on finding a tooth. So I'm not going to make a definitive claim that that's absolute proof that we had a human of that size based on that. But it is evidence. It's not proof, but as far as they can tell, Meganthropus has human characteristics. And they weren't able to hide that in the closet like they were with the original findings on Gigantopithecus. So they're pretty much stuck with saying, well, yeah, he could be human. They kind of argue it back and forth. Now, he wouldn't have been quite as big as Gigantopithecus, but based on his jaw, he would have been about 9.5, maybe 10 feet tall, which was about Goliath size. So he would have been a giant. So there is evidence for giants as far as skull evidence. Not a ton, but there is some. And I've heard plenty of reports, and if you get Joe Taylor's book on giants against evolution, there's report after report of people that actually found bones, turned them into the museum or their local college, and never saw them again. They don't want people to think that there were giants. That would defend the Bible. They don't want people to realize that you got ape skulls and human skulls and no skulls in between. There was one, Zinjanthropus. They found human and ape skulls bones together and thought they were all broken up into pieces. And they thought, here we found it, we found the ape man. But they dug up further, and what they found out, what it was, actually was humans that ate apes. They still do that in some parts of Africa. They eat their, that's a delicacy, they actually eat their brains. Well, that's what they found out what happened with this Enchantopus. It was apes that had holes in their heads that they probably were eating their brains. That's a delicacy in Africa, some delicacy, but well, we probably have things that they think are weird too. So here's some photographs of about what Meganthropus would be if he was about 8 feet tall next to a normal-sized man. Now, can you imagine if he was 2 feet taller, which is probably, I mean, based on that jawbone, he would have been probably over 9 feet tall. So they pictured him as 8 feet to be on the conservative side, and he still looks huge next to a normal-sized man. And if he was a foot or 2 feet taller and proportionally bigger, he would be humongous. So I want to thank you for this opportunity here. It's enabled me to be able to take a once-in-a-lifetime trip, and praise God, I might get to do it more than once in a lifetime. But living in Wisconsin, it's hard for me to get this far in one shot. And when I was available to go on a mission trip or go on a full-time ministry, my friend from El Paso area, Paul Buskager, asked me if I could come down to Mexico with him. And And I said, well, if I can find some churches on the way, because otherwise that's a long haul just to go from Wisconsin to Mexico. I said, I can't afford that. I don't have a job. And I said, if I find some churches on the way, we'll see if we can make it happen. And, of course, Brother Teague right away says, come on over. And he hooked me up with the pastor in Amarillo, and I was there a week or so ago. And on the way, then I found a church on the way in Kansas that let me stop. And Kansas is a good midway stop, so now I can come here more often. Because I want to go to small churches. I can't afford all the big shots. And that's hard to do if you got to stop somewhere and sleep in a hotel halfway through just to drive someplace, spend, you know, 60 or 80 bucks in a hotel room, and come to a little church that can only afford to give you, you know, 60 or 80 buck love offering, and they got to struggle to do that. Well, then it doesn't pay for either of us. And, you know, we got to make a living somehow. So having that stopover is going to really help. I can stay there for free anytime I want now. So now I can drive there and then from there go different places, including coming here again. So I would love to come back another time in the future. And we'll be here, of course, the rest of this week. So we'll have plenty of things to look at, plenty of different stuff. I try and give a good balance usually between preaching messages relevant to creation and some of this kind of stuff where you can see the evidence. Well, this week we're probably going to show more of the evidence kind of stuff and not quite as much of the preaching because that way we're trying to make the videos and all that. But I try and give a good balance. A lot of the creation guys just give you all the evidence here and it's not real Bible intense, and we do want to stick to the Bible. That's what we're basing our beliefs on. And a lot of churches want somebody that's out of a local church. Sometimes they have to settle for somebody from ICR or Answers in Genesis or one of them groups, and they're not the same denomination. They don't have the same beliefs. They're not bad. I know a lot of the guys are great guys. They love the Lord. They serve the Lord. And I'm not trying to be critical, but a lot of churches prefer somebody sent by another local church, so they know what they're getting, where he's coming from. A lot of churches would like to have somebody who actually believes the book they're preaching out of. And there are very, it's like it's another message. Maybe we'll do that later while I'm here or something. But you would think a creationist would believe the Bible specifically that he's using, but a lot of them don't. They go to the originals, and then they have to argue about what the originals really said. And they don't have a solid foundation for what they believe. And boy, the evolutionists could take advantage of that if they knew better, and they could use the modern versions to actually promote evolution. And if I do that message, I'll show you how they do that. The verses in the modern versions that promote evolution or allow for it at least, where the King James is a lot stronger, where it can't. There's no wiggle room to allow evolution in there. And so I want to thank you for this opportunity, and I think we'll have a great week. We've got several neat things planned. I hope you thought this was worthwhile, and let's have a word of prayer, and the pastor can dismiss us however he wants after that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to minister, to be a blessing and be blessed, and we pray it would honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and that it would give us faith in your word, Lord. It's always good to have our faith strengthened by things that we see in this world. We know we ultimately believe by faith, but we believe by faith because you give us plenty of things to rest our faith in, plenty of things that are true and factual and honest and provable. And then when we come to things that require faith, like the resurrection or the rapture or heaven or hell, then we can trust you, Lord, because you've proven yourself so many times to be right and accurate. And that's why the evolutionists and atheists attack this topic, because they want to take down the whole Bible by attacking this topic. And if we can't trust the beginning of the Bible, then the whole rest of it is spurious. So we thank you, Lord, that we can believe this book from cover to cover, especially the cover that says Holy Bible. And we pray you'd strengthen our faith, help us to be better servants for you because we have that strong faith, that we can use this information to answer the questions others may have, that they would have hurdles removed that are keeping them from trusting the Lord as Savior and from believing the Bible. That they would see that the Bible is indeed reasonable and true. And we thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's stay right there for just a second. I want to ask tonight, how many of you enjoyed that? Amen?
Yeah.
All right. Now, how many of you got a question? How many of you have a question? Something you've been wondering, something that you thought about. Doesn't matter. Listen, there ain't a dumb question in the world that you can ask.
Unless I can't answer it.
But if you have a question, feel free to ask. And nobody's going to look at you strange. Anybody?
And during the week...
Ms. Charlotte's got a question.
First deal, I have seen the foot ranch here in Texas.
Well, just like anything, when there are real ones, there's somebody that's going to try and make a buck by faking them. So there are some fake ones. But there are also some real ones that have been put under scientific tests, and some of that we'll talk about in the next couple of sessions, that they've done CAT scans on them, they've done cross-sectioning on them to prove that they were made by something actually stepping into the rock when the rock was soft enough to make a footprint in. And we'll take a look at it. Now, there are some, like I said, there are some hucksters that thought they could make some money, so they went out and carved some. But the neat thing is that if you can prove it's a carving, it gives credibility to the ones that you can't prove are carvings. And there's been a standing offer. The guys that have excavated some of these footprints have offered for any scientist at any university, if you think these are phony, if you think these are give us a false one and see if you can fool us. And none of them can do it. Because if you put it through enough scientific tests, you can show whether they're carvings or not.
Anybody else?
Right. And look through this stuff the next couple of days. You might get some ideas about different things. You might want to ask some questions. I have these folders over here that is basically 15 years worth of my studying on this topic. You'll see all kind of stuff that some of the stuff we'll cover, a lot of the stuff we won't cover. A lot of the stuff I don't have any in any of my lessons because I find one or two neat things that don't really fit in the lesson, but I thought this is neat to know, so I make a sheet and throw it in a folder. So you'll find some really incredible things in those folders. So, don't be afraid to spend some time. Look, and like Pastor Teague said, you can handle just about anything. Only a couple, use common sense. The only things that might be breakable are a couple of the plaster casts, the bigger plaster castings. Be a little careful with them. But the things that are plastic and resin and rock, well, you're not going to be able to do much damage to them. And, of course, the dinosaurs and stuff, you're not going to hurt them much. And if something gets broke by accident, hey, something gets broke by accident. I've had that happen before. That's life. Because the whole point of having these things is so you can see with your own eyes and feel with your own hands the evidence for the Bible. And if I didn't want nobody to touch these things, I'd just make a picture of them and put a picture up here. But we have these objects on purpose so you can handle them and see them and feel them. And if you don't know what something is or what the relevance is, yeah, just ask, and I'll tell you what they're all about.
Any other questions? I'm encouraging them. I'm not trying to get you to stop. Okay. Brother Lonnie, what were you saying?
CDs is
back
in the hall.
Yeah, CDs out there in the hall. And, the DVDs are going to be, we're making tonight, we shot tonight's service, and we're going to shoot everything that we're doing this week. Okay? Even the things he's going to teach out in the homeschool tomorrow and tomorrow. Tomorrow and Friday, he's going to be teaching our young people on geocentricity, and we're going to get that whole lesson on video, and we'll have that available.
Yes.
And so take part, enjoy. This is for you. Okay? Learn, ask questions. Pull him aside if you actually got a question about something on the table. Bug him. That's why he's here. Okay? I promise you, you're not going to bug him too much. He loves this stuff. So
I want to see if I can find the one that must be on the other browser. I want to play this for him. I don't know how that one got shut down. Since while we got this up, I can at least play a video on YouTube, but we couldn't get it into the video yet, but we will. Here we go. This will blow your mind.
So you got the picture?
Let me... Yeah, I want to get
the blades. Now, what are the evolutionists going to do about that? They're not going to blade this.
Oh, I see what it is.
Nova?
Have
you heard Nova?
Come on.
Which doctor?
To about...
Come on.
Has pressed so hard and so completely into this one that it caused it to be broken into a series of individual pieces which were then fused together in later files.
So you see, they were broken and they don't fit together properly. They did speculate in the program as to exactly who was responsible for breaking the hip, and the current scientific evidence suggests perhaps a deer stepped on it. Here you can see a deer foot stepping on the bone. Isn't that a bummer? Let's see where it goes from here.
This has caused the two bones, in fact, to fit together so well
so
that
well.
They're in an anatomically impossible position.
The perfect fit was an illusion that made Lucy's hip bone seem to flare out like a chimp's.
Yeah, just like a chimp.
But all was not lost.
This is a power saw, friend. You may want to put your goggles on.
Lovejoy decided he could restore the pelvis to its natural shape. He didn't want to tamper with the original, so he made a copy in plaster.
Notice he's removing whole parts, not just cutting.
He cut the damaged pieces out and put them back together the way they were before Lucy died. It was a tricky job.
It was a tricky job.
Down on the pelvis, it all fit together perfectly, like a three-dimensional jigsaw puzzle.
Look how perfect. You're going to read a newspaper through the hole.
As a result, the angle of the hip looks nothing like a chimp's, but a lot like ours.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no, this is what we call science. You can teach this in the public schools, but you can't criticize it, because if you do, that would be religious. So, well, I think perhaps the best way to...
All right. I just thought you'd appreciate seeing the actual video of him hacking away at the thing.
Any other questions? All right. How many think it's worth telling somebody, trying to get them coming tomorrow night?
Amen. All right. Let's stand together. We'll have a word of prayer and dismiss. And then when we dismiss, you don't have to head out the door. You come look. Spend some time. Pick up something. Handle something.
You know what I mean? You know, I mean, there's all kinds of things around here. What did you call this?
I just drew a blank when you asked me.
Megalodon,
yeah.
That's a shark tooth.
Yeah. Three times bigger than a normal shark.
He got it in Roswell, New Mexico, and he was holding it like this. Maybe an alien left that behind. I didn't know what that was. but anyway, that's a shark tooth. So, fascinating stuff. And so I encourage you to spend some time and look through this. We'll lock up when everybody's done. So let's go, Lord, in prayer. We'll be dismissed. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your glorious creation, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the Bible. Thank you for men who are valiant for truth. And Lord, I thank you for Latino. Lord, I'm thankful for his faithfulness to, Lord, he's worked like a detective just uncovering the truth and getting through the false answers that men have put out there. And Father, we just praise you, Lord, for his ministry that you've given him. Pray that you strengthen him and bless him and help him, Lord, to reach so many people, Lord, across this nation, and help them to understand that the Bible is right. Lord, that you're right. Your way is perfect. And Lord, that we can rest comfortably in that knowledge. Lord, that we can lean on you. We can turn to you, Lord. You have all the answers. Lord, strengthen our faith in that old King James Bible, Lord. I just pray, Father, for your blessing on each one that's come to the house of God tonight. And Lord, may they in turn encourage someone else to come back tomorrow night. And Father, we just thank you, Lord. We ask that the crab grow each night. Father, that people get a blessing out of it and are helped. And Lord, if somebody comes that's a skeptic, Lord, that's not sure they believe, may something that's shown or said, Lord, bring them under conviction. And Lord, may they come in repentance and faith and turn to Christ and be saved. Father, we just pray your blessing now upon us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. This is wonderful. This is really good.
What you want, buddy?
That's the same kind of thing I saw up there.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's kind of the